We are already at the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The year is swiftly moving by. We are already in August, and soon we will be in September. And then Advent, and Christmas, and everything else, always going around and around in new things. And of course, the devil never stops. Today, of course, we had a magnificent thunderstorm this morning, which, were it not Sunday, I would have enjoyed it tremendously, but I enjoyed it a little bit. And in the meantime, somebody keeps changing the ribbons to the missal and to the lectionary and everything else. So, and then the censer was set up improperly, not by me. I guess I'll have to have another class. If anything had happened, it would have been disastrous. These vestments are well over 100 years old, and they were hand-embroidered by nuns in Turin, Italy. I could not have imagined if they caught on fire. Because if I caught on fire, that's okay. I'm ready for that. You know, I'm preparing for purgatory. And of course, as I've been telling people lately, because I've had so much suffering, spiritual and physical, to undergo, I look forward to death very, very much. So whenever you send it, Jesus, I am ready. You are not, but I am. In the meantime, we see, particularly in the Gospel, that our Lord commends to us one of the most important virtues. Of course, the three most important are the theological virtues that touch directly on God. That's why they're called theological. Theos, Theou, God. The words that touch God directly. We don't touch each other directly, and neither you nor I are God. Some people think they are, and that's what the gospel is about. But the theological virtues. I wonder if any of you know. Faith. Belief in God and what God tells us. Hope. Hope that God will fulfill His promises. If we follow Christ, then we hope, and we know by hope. It's not in an encyclopedia. It's not in some website on the internet. It's in God. We hope in God that He will answer that which He has promised. And what has He promised? Eternal salvation. And then, of course, the most important one of all, the virtue of charity. Now, in this day and age, a lot of people say faith, hope, and love. But, you know, I don't like that so much. Because there are many types of love. Most of them are bad. Most of them are immoral, and the end of those things that are called love are not always good. You can figure that out for yourselves. Where does your love go? Does it go directly to God and through God to others? Not just because you want to go to heaven and to be spared hell, but because you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then after that, there are other virtues. We don't have time to go into all of them. But the study of the virtues is very beautiful in theology, of course, Catholic theology, the only that there is. Humility. If a person is proud, as this person in the reading today was, you know, two different men went up to the temple. It could have been this temple, it could have been another temple. Here was the temple of Jerusalem, the only temple that was at that time, a true temple, the house of God, the house of Jesus himself. And one of them began to thank God for how wonderful he is, wonderful he was. You know, oftentimes when I'm trying to make fun, I'll go into somebody or a conversation or a group of students, which I do every so often still teach. I wish I could teach again, but my voice is compromised. Pray that I will get it back. And you know, we can go in and say, "Oh God, I thank thee that I am so wonderful, that I am wonderfully made." Of course, this always causes laughter, which is supposed to. But it's not the way you act. Not necessarily outwardly, because if you go to a group of people and say that, they will laugh at you, not with you, at you. But inside your own heart. You know, I hear so many people, I hear some right now, in particular in the confessional. They manifest a tremendous amount of pride. And of course, I say often, if you don't know it by now, you hopefully will. What is the original sin? The original sin, and I'm not talking about Adam and Eve, I'm talking about Lucifer, Satan. It is pride. Pride. It is so ugly, the sin of pride. And all of us need to confess pride every time we go to confession. Because all of us think we are so special when we're not. And of course, the sin of Adam and Eve, original sin of mankind, what is it? It is pride. Thinking that we know better than God. Thinking that we do not have to obey God. I have given you this magnificent paradise, the Garden of Eden. You can do anything you want. But of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Pride. And the devil comes slithering on the ground. And of course, I always enjoy teasing some people, I won't say who, that it is interesting that he goes first to Eve. Eve, woman, Isha. Adam is Ish, the woman is Isha. How interesting that is. Be careful, ye ladies. And he tells him, you don't have to obey God. You should know better than God. Who is he? What is he? Why should you obey him? He said not to eat that fruit. I tell you, go ahead and eat it. Now, obviously, her IQ was not 180. Because who on earth listens to a snake? I don't. I stump it on the head or I run away from it if I can't stump it on the head. So should you. And so Eve takes the fruit. Now, in traditional art, it's always represented as an apple. I doubt it was an apple. Maybe it was a pomegranate or something like that. And of course, it must have been wonderful to look at. And a wonderful aroma. And a wonderful taste. But the minute she bit of it and gave some to her husband, Ish, immediately it turned bitter, 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 and she wanted to vomit. That's the way sin is. When you sin, you think, oh, this is wonderful. I can get away with this. I can do this. God doesn't care. Ultimately, and most people say this, God doesn't matter. Isn't that the truth? When you sin, you're saying to yourself and to God, God doesn't matter. Who cares what God says? Who cares what God thinks? That is the sin of pride, which is the sin of disobedience. And then you eat of the fruit. And immediately you feel like throwing up all over the floor. And so our Lord is teaching us that this man was full of pride. And we know people like that. Perhaps you yourself are one of those. Then we have the second man here. And he comes in like we all should when we come into the temple of God. We should fall on our knees before God who is here, present, spiritually and physically in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And we should say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Domine non sum dignus. Domine non sum dignus. Domine non sum dignus. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, who are represented by the first man, this second man, this last one, was justified immediately by his humility. But the first one immediately was condemned and was being prepared for the eternal fires of hell. Is that what you want? Is that what you want for yourself or your children? I hope not. Humility. And the word humility comes from the word in Latin, humus, which means dirt, the ground. Because a person who is humble is going on top of the ground. He's not flying in the heavens and telling everybody how great he is. But he's humble to the ground, as our Lord wants us to be. Learn your lesson. Learn the lesson of the gospel. In addition, today we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of the Angels. And of course, I remember with great love and missing her, my spiritual mother, Reverend Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation, who founded in Hansville the Monastery of Our Lady of the Angels. It goes back to this day, around 1224, and St. Francis died in 1226. A magnificent place to visit, where the Eucharist is worshipped 24/7. And so today, we look to Our Lady of the Angels and beseech her to help us to lift us up from the ground, to lift us up to the heavens, especially at the hour of our death, that we may prepare for death, for the time when Jesus will say, come, come to me. And then he will allow you to enter heaven. There are some booklets that have been provided by one of the parishioners here and there that have a beautiful novena to St. Francis of Assisi, to whom God gave this wonderful feast of Our Lady of the Angels. And of course we have the Porciuncola in Assisi. Right by it, St. Francis died in 1226. So you're welcome to have them. They're free. And they're filled with wisdom and wonderful things as we prepare with St. Francis to go to the kingdom of heaven. May St. Francis bless us all and fill us with that virtue in which he was a master, the virtue of humility. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.